So let's get moving on digestion. Now, you may be surprised to learn that you can pick up some things about your digestion from a blood test. Most people don't know that. Just like adrenals, you were thinking, huh, I didn't know you could test adrenals via the blood. Well, it's indirectly. Again, this is something I say at the beginning of all my presentations, and I encourage you to do the same as you're working with people and presenting, whether it's one-on-one or in a formal presentation. Some way of saying, I'm not diagnosing you. This isn't medical advice. This is education. I'm educating you about how your body works so that you can make really amazing decisions about how to take care of it. But if you are on any medication, if you are under the care of a medical practitioner, make sure that any changes you make to your diet and lifestyle are in conjunction with that practitioner. Now, we all know that we have patients that do not have a medical practitioner and don't want to have a medical practitioner because they don't want interventions in the medical and surgical realm. That's fine, and that's their decision. But you still have to tell them that you're not diagnosing them and that they need to work with their medical practitioner. It's just, you know, where it goes. You may be able to help them solve all their problems without it, but if they are on medication or under the care, just to cover yourself, you should be telling people. So we alluded to this already. There's a whole bunch of indicators that suggest low stomach acid. And if somebody has a good size handful of these, I say, woo, I think we have low stomach acid. And those of you who have been with me when I've been going through a brand new case, or yours, and going, oh, it looks like you have some malabsorption going on. And they're like, what? What do you mean, low stomach acid? Well, look at this and look at this and look at this. So you start to see those patterns. But the BUN can be either high or low, suggestive of low stomach acid. Chloride will be low, carbon dioxide high. So someone asked earlier about what if the adrenals are, we have the indicators for hypoadrenal, but we have the carbon dioxide high. That could suggest low stomach acid. So you want to look at that. And a lot of people with adrenal problems have low stomach acid because what happens when you have too much cortisol raging through your system is that you turn down the production of stomach acid. You turn down the secretions in all throughout your digestive tract. Stress does that. So low phosphorus, low protein, low albumin, high globulin. High globulin is usually an autoimmune type or an allergy type response. Low iron, low hemoglobin, high MCV, and the high MCV, MCH, and MCHC are related to what? Folic acid and vitamin B12. And when the stomach acid is low, you don't get as good of absorption of that. Low uric acid and low ferritin. So as you're going through these labs, especially the first few times you do this, you're going to really love to take advantage of the little cheat sheet that I had put together, because we've got sheets like this throughout that document. I don't know if anybody's had a chance to download it, but it's about 12 pages long and full of this kind of information. Indicators that can suggest low stomach acid, right? The way that we know if you have low stomach acid is we stick a scope down there. We do a Heidelberg test. In lieu of that, which is extremely expensive and invasive, we can get indicators, right? They also have signs of low nutrient status. So that's that. So let's look at hypochlorhydria versus Helicobacter and see how we differentiate those. Helicobacter is a bacteria that embeds itself into the wall of the stomach and actually can create ulcerations. It can damage your stomach, and it's been thought now to be one of the leading causes of stomach ulcers. So when you have hypochlorhydria and you have some of these indicators on the left-hand side, when your total protein's low and your globulin and your BUN and your phosphorus, creatinine, and iron and calcium are all low, that's if in addition to those, you find that the white blood cells are either high or low, remember, white blood cells get activated for an immune response, and they can be either high or low. Neutrophils, monocytes, normal or elevated, lymphocytes are depressed, neutrophils are elevated, and then a special H. pylori test would clinch it. So if you have this combination, it could be that you have an infection in your stomach with Helicobacter pylori. And if you look here, total protein's okay, albumin's okay, but the globulin is slightly elevated, the BUN is very low, the phosphorus is a little bit high, and the creatinine is okay, but the iron is really, really, really low, really low, all right? So when we look for these things, we look to see how is the digestion going based on indirect measures through the blood. So when the small intestine and or the pancreas are not working well, and remember, that's where digestion occurs. That beginning part of the small intestine, the duodenum, is where the enzymes get secreted, the pancreatic enzymes get secreted into the common bile duct, and all of it goes into that duodenum. And the lower down part of the small intestine is your absorptive surfaces. So there's going to be some things in the blood work that show us that there's a problem. Elevated uric acid and low BUN. BUN is blood urea nitrogen, and we are going to talk about that in more detail in the next coming section on kidney. Same thing with all of these we're going to be talking about when we come to kidney. Protein is low. Globulin is low. Usually that indicates that there's some GI inflammation. Alkaline phosphatase can be low, and that's a low zinc, which contributes to poor enzymatic and stomach acid function in the gut. If the alkaline phos is high, on the other hand, it indicates that there's been some damage. So alkaline phosphatase is a liver enzyme, but it also is related to the bone and the gut. GGT is another liver enzyme, and when it's low, it suggests malabsorption. Hematocrit, when it's low, it suggests inflammation and also malabsorption. So here are some of the findings that we found in pancreatitis. Pancreatitis is an inflammation of your pancreas. And a combination of these, not just one or two, but a combination of a good-sized spattering, like half or more of these, would suggest that you have pancreatitis. Although, if lipase and amylase are elevated in your blood, then that's a surefire sign of pancreatitis. The others are more general. Lipase and amylase are very, very specific. So where do we go? How do we detect some large intestine stuff? Well, if you've got elevated eosinophils, it could be allergy and it could be parasites. So that's a possible clue. If your sodium is low, it could be causing a laxative effect, which would affect your large intestine. But really, large intestinal stuff, you really need to look at a stool analysis. And our next module will be going through the digestive tract. And I'll talk about the comprehensive stool and digestive analysis is that many of the functional labs perform. And you'd want to make sure to get a parasitology if their symptoms suggest it.